It's Mark Husson's Astrology Hour. Time for you to expect something wonderful.
Well, good morning, everybody, and happy full moon. This is Mark Husson. This is Mark Husson's Astrology Hour coming to you live on August 19th, 2024. It's about 8 a.m. on the Pacific Coast, 11 a.m. if you're on the East Coast, and you know what time it is wherever you are. Thank you so much for joining me. It's a full moon. We get to have a full moon show. We had a new moon show, didn't we? It was one day off, but we actually, and you know what's funny? It hasn't even hit yet. It's coming up. It's like at 11 something Pacific time. So we're like hours before the full moon. And so it's kind of fun to feel that energy building up. It's not, I mean, full moons are great for that sense of buildup. I'm so glad to have you here with me live today. Thank you so much. If you're listening, not live, if you're doing the pre-record, first of all, thank you. I hope you found us on many of the, I'm on Spotify, Apple. You can go to 12radio.com and go on demand. And you can also go to Buzzsprout and just sort of link, and they'll let you know whenever there's a new episode uploaded, which happens every week. How fun is that? I'm a lucky guy because I'm getting to talk about something that I love, and I'm getting to talk about it with people who also seem to enjoy it. And some of you really love astrology, and some of you just like the good time that we have. Because I, you know what? I was thinking, it's easy to spread fear. Because we're so ready for fear. We're so ready to be afraid. It's kind of funny. And I see it in myself too. It's sort of like, what did they say? Like you hook into something that's sort of a little negative because I think we're always, always ready for the carpet to be pulled out from under us. I don't care how optimistic you think you are. I think that there's some unconscious part of us that knows that the floor can always drop at any moment. Life can take a quick change. Who we're drawn to are not necessarily people who already tell us what we think is, you know, think in that direction. We kind of like the pioneers who were fighting to see what's good about all this without it being BS, you know, without it just being, oh, a lovely affirmation. And I know I pick on affirmations a lot. I'm not opposed to them. I see their value. I just don't like I like negative. No, I don't. I don't. But I don't want to be lied to when I'm having a crappy time, right? I want the truth. And I think within that, it's the hard pioneers, the people who have it harder to see the good when times are really tough. Not just say, oh, it'll be fine. Universe works in strange ways. It'd be fine. I don't mind kind talk like that. But, you know, it's like, give me some evidence. If you have a finger on the pulse of the universe that knows something good's going to happen, tell me. And tell me how you know. Because it gets scary out here for a lot of us, for all of us. Who doesn't get scared? And then you hear about these big cycles coming up. I posted the chart. I sent you the chart. And you know what, you guys? Let me get you over here so you can join us in the room. You go to 12radio.com. And if you click on the chat link on the left-hand side, you'll be brought over into the 12radio group, a private group on Facebook, where we talk and chat. And you'll see my banner at the top there that Jay put up. Thank you, Jay. Jay and Carolyn have the show before mine, Metaphysical Conversations. They do a great job. The discussions between the two of them are really thought-provoking. They're kind of fun to be a part of, sort of listening to how the world thinks and where people are. It's actually lovely, and their dialogues are really honest, so I appreciate that. So if you come into the room and you'll see my banner, the Mark Husson's Astrology Hour, and you click comments, and then at the top of the thing that gets exposed, you change the word top comments to all comments. I think we're all getting the same thing. What you'll see is the amazing Lynn Goldberg. Lynn, thank you so much for being here. Your consistency, your love, your support always means something. She's taking us on the walk with her this morning. Let's activate the highest expression of these explosive, did I say that out loud? Meaning energies. Woo! Exactly. Yeah, call it what it is, Lynn, because I know you tell the truth. Hi, Nadine. This was the color of last night's moon, and it came out strong. It and it came out strong until a huge thunderstorm covered it for about an hour. Wild. I just love these energies. Mark, you'd mentioned last week if you were a person who worries or had anxiety that it would be a difficult time with the planet's alignments in these days, and you were not kidding. We're going to talk about that, Nadine. Thank you so much for sharing that beautiful picture. Your pictures are extraordinary. We have Peggy Reeser in the house. Hi, Pegs. Peggy's an advisor at One Two. She's also the incredible host of the Tuesday morning show called Oh My Angels. I hope you can tune into Peggy's show. I love to every morning, every Tuesday morning. Renee, thank you for being here. Penny, welcome. Hi, Laura. Thanks for being here. Hi, Truly. Glad to be here. Tune in to hear this good news. Am I the only one that can't sleep when it's a full moon? I certainly doubt it, Truly. I certainly doubt it. Linus is here. Happy magical full moon Monday, Mark. Happy grand rising, Linus. Welcome. Pamela Snow, Mark, hope you got some great cosmic goodies for us this week. Me too, Pamela. Charlene, what a glorious day, Mark, in the morning, and a beautiful sunny day. What's the next good thing headed my way? Let's look, Charlene. Julie Miller. I was listening to NPR and they mentioned the supermoon and it triggered my realization that it's Monday. And I said to no one, oh, Mark is on. You crack me up, Julie. Thank you. Thank you. And your airy self. I love it. Renee, thanks for being here. Tara. You know, I'm always going to call you Tara first. I think that was just 20 years of having my little first dog ever named Tara. Quelly. Oh, Quelly, happy grand rising. You know, Quelly, I think that I was thinking Linus said happy grand rising, and it's you that says grand rising. I apologize. I apologize to Linus for confusing you with the grand rising remarks. And Quelly, thank you for the grand rising remarks. Angelic Crystals, good morning. Mark J. and the tribe. And Patricia, thanks for being here. Judith is in the house. Took forever, but the dragon is in the house. Hey, Judith, thanks for being here. Okay, you guys, I'm going to come back and check on you, see how you're doing. But you know what? So it is hard to, I don't think it's the easy path to find the good that's out there and to actually be convincing about it. It's not, I mean, I can, you know, we could say this is just a really tough time. Everybody relates to that, right? It's easy to say. It's easy to say that, oh, you're going to be in first talk this week, or these are really, you know, tumultuous. That's another big word we like to use in our predictive worlds. But I think what's important is that we understand finding, you can't not find the optimism if you have this wired correctly. In other words, the inner is reflecting the outer, and the outer is reflecting the inner. There's not one that's 1 second ahead of the other, right? They're simultaneous. It's like a dream. It's happening. In other words, when you see a full moon, or when we tell you about a planet transit that's happening, what we're talking about is a metaphor that's already happening that you're well aware of, that your psyche is well aware of, and it's existing to guide, to sort of give an external reflection of an internal process. So you're already doing it, okay? We're all feeling this square of Uranus and the moon. I'm going to talk to you about that. What does it mean to have a square between two planets? And it's so fun because it's so simple. It's so very simple. If you just take the basics of astrology and you think about the fixed signs, you think about like you think about seasons, and every season has a start, middle, and end, three segments to a season. And the planets identify them. So in the beginning of spring, the first day of spring, and for 30 days, we're going to have a cardinal or an aggressive energy. In the middle, we have that stable energy of Taurus. And in the end, we have the flexible energy of Gemini. And every season has that. So whatever sign you're in the middle of that season is always going to be the inflexible one. The middle holds it together. This is Leo time. Until this coming week, it shifts into Virgo time, which means the end of summer. So we're in fixed energy now, and the full moon is in the sign, is going to be in the sign. That's full moon means that the moon is on one side of the zodiac and the sun is on the other. They're opposite, and we get to see the fatness of the moon, right? And so if this is a Leo time period right now, then the moon has to be in the opposite sign of Leo, which is Aquarius, which is also, is it fixed, mutable, or cardinal, guys? Fixed, mutable. If Leo is fixed and Aquarius is its opposite, is Aquarius fixed, mutable, or cardinal? It's fixed. So this moon is in a fixed element and a fixed sign of Aquarius, fixed element of air. And what makes it so, like, why is everybody harping about this so much? What's the deal? Well, what makes it so extraordinary is that it's at the same degree. It's at 27 degrees of fixed energy. Like, it's 27 Leo. It's 27 Aquarius. Don't worry about the numbers. Just hear them. You don't have to make sense out of it. Like, one's 27, the other's 27. But then we have 27 in another fixed sign in Uranus. That calls Uranus into the picture. And then we have Mercury at 27. So there's a lot of 27 happening. And they're all in fixed signs. So what's that mean? Well, if you're stubborn and you meet another stubborn person, what y'all have to figure out? Not who's the boss, because y'all both are going to be the boss. It's whose turn is it? To be the boss, you take turns. And every once in a while, when you get something like a full moon where Leo is a fire sign and the moon is an air sign, and they're compatible elements. So all opposites are compatible elements. So when people say we're opposite, I have to ask them for clarity. Are you saying opposite like astrology where it's compatible, or are you opposite like in the old pejorative way? Anyway, so when you have Leo and you have an Aquarian in the house, well, I think what we're going to see here is that you, if you're both in the kitchen cooking, you both are going to come up with a cooperative agreement. And together you could make this an incredible meal because you're agreeing. And Leo likes anything that makes them look good, right? And Aquarius likes cooperation and likes when their ideas are met. And Leo masterfully, like, Leo conquers things. Leo's gift in its highest form is mastery. Like, they get good at shit. Aquarius sees the bigger picture. Usually ahead of themselves and ahead of the rest of us, so they always feel like they're alone, right? They're ahead of the game. And wherever you have Aquarius in your chart, you feel alone. If you're an Aquarius rising, you feel alone. If you're an Aquarius moon, you feel alone. If you're Aquarius sun, you feel alone. It's not lonely, is it? Lonely is the judgment on alone, right? You just feel like people aren't going to get it. You're used to people not getting it. And then we get into the technical details for the astrologers among you. If it's a Uranus conjunction to your sun or moon, you feel alone. Because you're a little ahead of the game. But this full moon takes that another step for everybody. So some of us are going to feel in this full moon a little isolated, a little ahead of the game, a little misunderstood. So if you're feeling that, yay you, because you're getting it. Okay? If you're feeling a little isolated, you're recognizing this projection that you've put out into the world. You get it. Like, you're feeling a little alone. I get it. A lot of us are feeling that under this kind of full moon. This kind of full moon is called an Aquarius full moon, and we feel a little separate from everybody. Like, ain't nobody getting me. I don't get it. I have been looking at people going, I don't get it. I just don't get it. Do I need to get it? Only if they're a Leo. Just teasing. Okay, now, so you're getting this sort of energy that's sort of from another planet, like you're feeling from another planet. And if you talk to an Aquarian, or wherever you have Aquarius in your chart, if you talk to an Aquarian, Aquarius moon, Aquarius rising, what they're going to tell you is they feel like they were born at another planet at another point in time. They feel strange. They feel separate, especially when they want you to get something. Like, normally that's like the place they like being. I was just born on another planet, fanning themselves like, sorry. They're not sorry. So You got these Aquarians and this part of your chart that's Aquarius, wherever it is, that's unique to you, different for you, unusual for you, separate from you. And this full moon activates it. So what's the complaint? What's everybody worried about? A couple things. That 27 degree point? Well, there's two other points in the space like that. Like Uranus now. Guess here comes Uranus, the ruler of Aquarius. But Uranus is this destructo planet, right? Uranus likes to mess things up. Aquarius, that's Aquarius ruler. We know Aquarius, you all like to mess things up. But you like to mess things up because you want us thinking differently. Brought water, right? An air sign, bring them water, the water bearer. You even mess us up with your language, what you call yourself. Aquarius, the air sign, carries water. What? Really? So we got Aquarius, and now we have the ruler of Aquarius in the sky in Taurus. That's weird right there. Now, I don't know many of y'all know many Tauruses. I know a few, a lot of few. I don't know how many of y'all don't know a Taurus that didn't go through some enormous change that they did not want. Y'all know any? I might know one or two. And so that's an example. The difference is Aquarius likes that change. Uranus comes along in Taurus and tells Taurus, says, guess what? I'm going to give you the gift of change. You know how many Tauruses love to hear that phrase? I'm bringing you the gift of change. Oh my God, it's hysterical. The most fixed earth sign that you can be, because there's Virgo, mutable earth, like flexible. There's Capricorn, always on the move, building. And there's Taurus, rooted in. And they get the message, I'm going to bring you change. Oh, that cracks me up so bad. But guess what? Wherever you have Taurus in your chart, same thing happened. Good old Uranus and Taurus came and said, we're going to change this stuff up. And it did too, man. It changed it up. And you got to look. Now, what do I mean by where you have it in your chart? Well, if you're at least familiar enough with your own astrological chart, there's 12 houses. You have a particular little set of houses. They're all of us have 12 houses. And on the outside of those houses, we all have a different ruler. Like, well, some of us will have like a Leo at the 10th at the top of the chart, or Taurus at the top of the chart. But you'll have Taurus somewhere in your chart, and it'll be different than everybody's, because they're all different based on your time of birth. So Uranus has been sitting there messing you up in that life, in that part of the corner of your world, right? And if you're still going, well, I want to know what mine is, y'all need to get a chart run. Go to astro.com and get a chart run. Just look at your wheel. You need to have your time of birth. If you don't have your time of birth, it's still fine. Run it. They'll put it so that your sun sign and your rising sign are the same, and you'll find it that way. That's fine. That works really well. It does. It's kind of funny how well it works, actually. So we got these planets, all of them at 27 degrees. So we got the cook, two cooks, Leo and Aquarius in the kitchen. And then this big old Hell's Kitchen kind of dude, right? Coming in, and he's also going to be cooking, and he's like no BS chef, right? He didn't even talk to y'all. Now there's three fixed energies in the kitchen trying to cook. Well, the Aquarius looks at the Leo and says, shit, this is going to be different. And then Leo goes, I know. So they're now bonded. They're even closer now because they have a mutual enemy, Uranus and Taurus. But Uranus and Taurus ain't putting up with it. Uranus and Taurus don't care that they get along. Uranus and Taurus doesn't care that there's like this, y'all can cook an amazing meal. Uranus and Taurus is like, but is it the way I'm the Taurus here? I need to know it tastes good. I don't care that it looks all floofy and you're going to light a fire to it when you take it out to people. It's got to have flavor. It's got to have flavor that I like, not your over high-minded air fire sign like. I got to love it in my belly, says the earth sign, Uranus and Taurus. So now you got this energy in the air. All of a sudden, Leo and Aquarius, this full moon is like, it went from, we got this grand idea going to shit. Now we got to accommodate somebody else. And they're forcing us to change what our vision is. Now, if you've ever seen a Leo and an Aquarius, or a Gemini and a Sag, or a Libra and an Aries, those are all air fire sign combos. If you ever seen them together, you don't win. It doesn't get more arrogant than those two signs, air and fire, getting together. They walk off into the sunset making fun of you, making short work of all of us because they don't care. Pie in the sky ideas. They're walking away. That's all the fire signs, all the air and fire signs. That's what they do. Yeah, take it. That's what y'all do. Okay, so leaving us helpless, watery, earthy signs to watch you walk away and then go, oh, hell no. I'm going to make your life hell because y'all have to live on the real world, right? So the water and earth signs are like, y'all have to live here. So we're just going to make it so we get our way and make it so uncomfortable for you that you got to give us what we want. And that's Uranus in earth saying, okay, full moon, you can't get too far out of hand. You got to accommodate. Now, the world is in an uproar about this aspect. You'll see it everywhere. The T-square of the full moon in Uranus, the T-square. Well, they're cooks, and they're trying to figure it out, and they're trying to figure it out in your chart. And if you know your chart and you have 27 somewhere in your chart, it's a good thing because you are really in for some good opportunity for a shift. Now, you can either shift by having it blow up and create a big drama, or you shift by seeing what is the urge here that I need to do and let me row in the direction of the current. No idiot wants to swim upstream. Go like against the current, I should say. You don't want to go against the current. That's ridiculous. Go with the current. You got to figure out where the current is. Now you might say, but I wanted to go that direction, but the current's going another direction. I'm going to try to go that direction. Go ahead. Good luck to you. Because that's you being inflexible, which is understandable during these fixed sign times. But there is another component here. There is something else we have to talk about. That yesterday, Mercury hit the Promethean cycle of the sun. Let me talk to you about that, okay? Give me a minute. I got to hit refresh because y'all are driving me crazy. No, you're not. You're not. I'm just teasing. What's driving me crazy is I want to come see you. And Facebook is going, what's your password? I'm like, I gave it to you when I got here. Whatever. So I did it. Here, I'm coming in. Coming in for the reach. All right. And then I'm changing the top comments to all comments because I don't set those up. Facebook does that top comment thing. So, all right. Thank you all for the full moon wishes. Those are beautiful graphics. I love those. Okay, Kelly's in the house. Maya's here. Julie, thank you. Audra, good day. Alicia, I didn't realize I was on my page. Happy to be here with you all. Thank you, Alicia. Judith, Mark, for the past several years, not present in your shows electronically, I keep hearing your voice say, feel it, feel it. Where do you think the moon is? And so I would feel it. And sometimes I was bang on. It was an awesome practice. I highly recommend it. Oh, that's so cool, Judith. Thank you. I miss you. It's so good to hear you and to have you here. Feeling where the moon is, like, where is the moon? Like, take a minute. Like, seriously, like, what am I feeling? I know. By now, I'm like, oh, God, I can tell. And if I don't know, I'll see John and go, oh Lord, I know where the moon is. Oh, God, help me. Okay, Tara. Atara, strange I am, Aquarius rising. Strange I am. Look at that Yoda picture. I do get it. And on Monday morning of a full moon, how the hell did that happen? Serena's in the house. Hi, Serena. Her show's at noon today, Pacific. And Serena's an advisor at 1-2. Lovely person, lovely energy. You are going to be blown away if you haven't heard her yet. Thank you, Serena. Welcome. Okay, you guys, I think we're good. I think we're up to date. Let me reload this page. So you all getting this energy. It's called a T-square. And whenever the planets are in that kind of situation, whenever they're in a situation where they're the same degree and the same, what we'll call, like they're all fixed, cardinal or mutable. Okay. I'm trying to think like a way to present that, the same modality. Well, I know that's the word in astrology, but I was trying to think of another word for modality, but it's the same mode, that a good word of mode. If they're all in the same mode, like fixed, mutable, or cardinal. Now, cardinal is aggressive, mutable is flexible, fixed is clearly fixed. And so if they're all in fixed, you get a T-square. You don't get a lot of choice. Does that make sense? If it's fixed, what kind of choice are you going to get? So you kind of get this bounce around energy. You get this energy that's sort of like it's build up. And it sort of starts like you can see the electric current going from the sun and the moon. And then it gets pulled a little over 90 degrees by Uranus. And so, but nobody's like, it's not flexible. So if you've noticed that your plans are changing, or if you notice that you still don't know what you want, all those things, like that's the same thing. So what I want you to see is, you know what's interesting? I was reading this thing. We imagine, you know, we all grew up, right? We had a home life, whatever you want to rate it, doesn't matter. Can you imagine that then the desire in us, unconscious or not, is to recreate that home life? Why? Well, it's pretty comfortable. It's pretty familiar, no matter how ugly it was. But what the psyche is trying to do, in my opinion, is get us to a point where we get to see the pattern, possibly, and be done with it. Like, okay, like what's not finished here? There's so many things that as a child just got cut, you know, just got cut off. I've been thinking about a lot about that lately. I was dumped in... I'll just put it this way. I was dumped in kindergarten at 2 years old. I ran away at 2.5. I remember everything so vividly. But I was thinking, what the psyche does when you're dumped like that, when you're just sort of, you're forced to go. You hate it there with all your, I mean, I hated it enough to actually devise a plan to escape. And I knew how to do it. I hid under the principal's desk, which was at the greeting area, but she wasn't there. So I hid under her desk. The door opens and it's so, and I remember Jimmy and his mother coming in. This is a water memory, right? Water meaning they remember everything. I'm 2.5. The door slowly closes because it's on a, you know, the hydraulic thing. And I get out. I go, "Hi, Jimmy." He says, "Boo, I scared you." And his mother took him on in and I ran out while the door was shutting. And I ran, crying and walking and crying and walking and crying and walking. And I ran into this woman that was the most sweet, sweet, sweet woman I had ever met. I just loved her. And she took me to her office and put me in a chair. And she ended up, I thought she was magical, right? Just magical. Because she knew who to call. And all she had was my name. How'd you know who to call? Aren't there more people than my family in this world? And I thought they'd be so happy to see me. And they weren't, of course. They were just pissed because it was a ruckus. And my mom now told the story before she passed. Now, they sent my uncle because my mom was at work. And they sent my uncle to pick me up. And he was just mean, you know, just like, oh, ragging me out. And I was just like, don't y'all get it? I don't want to be here. But she told the story. She rushed. She dropped everything and ran and got me. So cute. She's up against that memory now. Okay, so got out. And in that, I was thinking, what did I put together as a child that in my life I want to keep recreating? And I mean, I could come up with a bunch of things, but it's like you keep recreating. You know what I wanted to recreate? Safety, security, a home that I didn't have to leave. Take that, all you people who think I stay home too much. A home I did not have to leave. And the psyche keeps recreating circumstances that look familiar that I can see the abandonment issue emerge and I can see how it's changed. And I can see how I can love onto it. And I can see where my inappropriate wound at friends used to be, who I would say abandoned, right? But it's lovely how we keep recreating circumstances in our lives for the sole purpose of healing them. Full moons bring that on exquisitely. And with this big T-square happening in the sky, and it has to do with Aquarius, and it has to do with Uranus, It has to do with surprise. The element of, I don't know, like, I'm not going to be able to predict this, but I am able to ride it. I am able to know when I'm in the surf and in the direction of the current, but I may not be able to know exactly where it's taking me. And that's what we have to do. And that's why it's harder to be the optimist. And it's not even optimism. If we were realistic, we'd probably feel optimistic. Where has your life not worked? Why is this one going to be the one that recreated the worst time in your life ever? And what happened to all the points we get? You know, I used to say to people, when John and I would have big, terrible fights in the early days. Oh my God. Early days, man. It was crazy. But it's like the idea was, it's life or death, right? It's life or death. Like, we were facing some of the deepest fears we ever had. And why was it? And why is it? And it turned, and it rarely happens now, just so you know. But it was a fun sort of watching your psyche needing to adjust to this. Why was it that it was the darkest time? Always, like, it was like the worst case scenario thing that could happen. Like, whenever there was something going on, it was the darkest fear. And I remember arguing for, how come the good things don't have any weight? Like, how come all the good things I did when I get in trouble, I hate to use him as an example because it's so rare. But in the early days, when I used to think, why aren't my good things adding up here? I had a couple friends I used to do that too. All the good I've done, I do one bad thing, and now I'm in the crap house. And it's like, why didn't that add up? Like, in other words, why don't the brownie points add up? And I think that's what our psyche does. When we're at the worst time, why is it that we forget the grace we've had for ourselves? Why is it that I can't remember all, like, I made it this far. Why do I think tomorrow's going to be the end of everything? That's what I mean about, if you were realistic, you'd probably be an optimist. And we are so lucky to have a Leo Aquarius full moon happening right now, because nothing brings on optimism and hope like fire and air signs. Sorry, water and earthies, baby. Y'all get gloom and doomy, and you know how to love emotionally. It's really sweet. But nobody can lift you up to the clouds like fire and air. And guess what? You have fire and air in your charts. Each and every one of us do. And now the full moon's giving us that. It's giving us fire and air to lift us up a little bit. And what's Uranus's role in this? What's that little T-square thing? What's this 90-degree thing of Uranus? Well, Uranus is offering, can we do it and stay grounded? Like, it's all fine to go, let me live in my dreams. But can I live in my dreams and bring some reality here? Well, Uranus is saying, yeah, you're going to have to. I'm not worried about the answer because you're going to have to. That's Uranus. And I'm going to do it in a way that's going to surprise you. Yeah, Uranus has that kind of cocky attitude, you know. Yeah, I'm going to do it like that. Head tilt. And if you have something at 27 in your chart, I just want you to pay attention to it, especially if you have something 27 Scorpio. Okay, now, moving on to another topic. Real quick, same topic, same idea. But in that full moon, Mercury is right there next to the sun. And last week, we talked about when the Mercury retrograde, it will retrograde at some point, and it will at some point contact the sun. It will come in contact with the sun. It's called a combustible Mercury, whatever. You know, people like to do the drama words. But it's a conjunction to the sun. It means it's right on top of it. It's also 27. It's actually 26. But yesterday it was at 27. When the Mercury meets the sun during a retrograde, it's called the Promethean cycle, and it stops us from looking backwards. Not really stops us, but it makes it a lot more fun to look ahead. The Promethean cycle likes to focus on the future, what's possible. the Epimethean cycle, the one just before that, the first 10 days of the Mercury retrograde, we're looking at the past. We're looking at things that we have to clean up. I asked you guys at the beginning of this retrograde to make a list of some of the good things that happened. I just had a friend who told me never, ever, ever to tell him that the Mercury retrograde was happening. Never. And in this retrograde, and I don't, Gemini. And in this retrograde, he just had one of the biggest deals of his life happen. He's so excited, so elated, and I couldn't say, you know this happened under a retrograde, right? I have to wait because I made a promise. And I'm an angel. Not really. I break promises all the time, but I did keep this one. And so I can't say anything, but I can't wait. So a lot of good things have happened under the retrograde. I made a list. I hope y'all making lists because you need to change this silly idea. The silly idea that this thing isn't connected to you somehow, that it's time to clean things up. It's just silly. It's so archaic. It makes me sick. It's like, and I'll never change the mind of the mass world, but hopefully I can change your mind that the Mercury retrograde and your addiction to having things be pessimistic, we can break. Please let me break your pessimism. I feel so silly, but it's coming. It's coming. I feel the moon is coming. It's not here yet, but please, you could do it just by making a decision. You know that, right? Changing your mind is just a decision. It's not anything else. It's a decision. I'm going to change my mind right now. Here it is. And you do it. You change your mind. All right, I'm going to check on you. See how y'all are doing. I'm almost afraid. Okay, come on. I'm coming down. Here we go. Okay. I have to scroll all the way down. All right, we have Melissa is in the house. Hi, Melissa. Love you too. Mars in Aquarius, 28 degrees in the third house. Oh, Melissa. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so third house. This is so good. I'm glad you bring it up because that full moon is in your third house also. Like that moon lands in your third house. The moon is the part that's in Aquarius right now, right? So that means third and ninth. This is all about education. This is all about learning. This is all about your grasp of wanting something. This also could do with siblings and not putting up with stuff anymore. So you have to add that to the mix. But it's a devouring of information. It's a desire for information. It's a want of information. And it's information that could possibly be changing, like personally changing. Alishea's moon is at 26 degrees of Gemini, trine this. All this stuff trines that 26 degrees. So she's got the full moon trining her Gemini sun. So in the first house, which to me, okay, Gemini opposite of Sag, then we have Aquarius right behind that. Wait a minute. No. Right. Okay. So probably in the eighth or the ninth house, if I'm doing my math right. Let me see. Sag and then Capricorn and then Aquarius. So probably the ninth. That moon, oh my gosh, same here. It's about wisdom and spirituality and trust, Alishea. This is great. Joni, I've missed you, Mark. What a delight to hear you today. Joni, thank you. So good to have you here. Okay, so Lynn says, does that mean the T-square releases in God's favorite sign, Scorpio? You cracking me up. That's great. It does mean that, Lynn. It does. It means that. Okay, so you guys, this is going to seem technical, too technical for some, but really it isn't. There's four fixed signs. There's Leo and Aquarius. There's Taurus and Scorpio. Well, Leo has the sun in the full moon. Aquarius is being occupied by the moon for the full moon. Uranus is being occupied in Taurus. And there's only one fixed sign that got left out. It's Scorpio. So all that energy has to come out at 27 degrees of Scorpio. And guess where it's going to come out? 27 degrees of Scorpio. So if you know how to put 27 degrees of Scorpio in your chart, that point is going to be huge for a release point. We call it a release point. It means look to that for a new way that you're going to be expressing that energy. Like what that energy is going to be there. See what happens. You have to see what. I'm never going to predict Uranian things or Aquarian things. I just can't. Great question, Lynn, and well put, actually, I have to say. Lori Love's in the house, and Lori has her show, The Love Sherpa, Lori the Love Sherpa, right after Kat Nicholson's, who's this Intuitive Hours, right after me. Gosh, you guys have to stay and get readings. I'm telling you, we're blowing it up on Mondays. Numbers are crazy, and thank you for that. And we're having an insane sale at 1-2-Listen. So get support, tell friends, The prices are ridiculous. Audra, 27, Venus at 27, Saturn at 28 in Pisces. Okay, so that 27 point that I'm talking about in Pisces, that is going to be, okay, so the opposite is, oh, so wherever Aquarius is, it's one over, right? From that, from where the full moon is in your chart, wherever Aquarius is at 27. What's interesting about yours, Audra, is that Saturn is also in Pisces. So you're having your Saturn return. So what I would do is just look to see if you have more access to these Venus, Venusian things, the Venus things, the Saturn things. See if you're, if there's been a serious turn for you with regards to a person, like more serious or something that's gotten your focus. I'd love to see, to hear from you. It's in the 12th. It's going to be a little vague, but we got to check it out and see what we know. Okay. Judith Tapp, weird thing I read in Farmer's Almanac was that this day today is perfect, the best day for castrating animals. Doesn't that kind of sum up planetary aspects? Oh God. Yeah, I guess so. Sorry for the morning imagery. Gwyn, greetings to everyone. Looking forward to hearing about the full moon and Thor's hammer. My Uranus in Gemini, 21 degrees. Is in the 10th and up for it. So you guys with this Uranus and Gemini thing, this is so exciting because A, Jupiter and Mars are in Gemini at that point. Let me see where they're about 19 right now or 17 and 19. So that Uranus is coming along in the 10th. God, Gwen, I can't wait to hear from you to see how that changes things or if it does. Lori Labate's in the house. Lori Light, good morning. Thank you so much for your continuing. It's so helpful. Thanks, Lori. Thank you. Thank you. Lori's an advisor at 1-2. Listen, you guys, the advisors come out. I love it. And I'm so grateful for the support. Pisces sun at 26, says Melinda. Pisces. Okay, so you Pisces are really feeling it because Saturn, I know it's pulling on you. The moon in Aquarius at 28. Oh, wow. This is your full moon. This is good. And Cancer rising at 29. So Melinda, wherever that moon is, what house it's in, this is your full moon. The moon is at there and Uranus is hitting, is squaring that point and the moon and the sun is opposing that point. So you're enacting the full moon now as you talk. So a lot of emotional energy, a lot of wisdom. I want you to pay attention to it. That Cancer at 29, man, those are very powerful numbers. So stay really grounded and let us know like what you notice, because this is the moon, what I react to, what I need, what is my unconscious desires. Those are emerging. Judith says, childhood memories. I like the sudden and surprising flying toys. Perfectly normal to me. Scared the heck out of me, out of a little Leo friend. Judith, that's great. Karen Erickson. Hi, everyone. I got to tune in late. I have Neptune 26 degrees of Scorpio in the house of fun. That is very important. And a Sag moon at 27 in the sixth next to Mars. Okay, so the Sag moon at 27, that's a big trine to the sun. So this is a great time for you, Karen. This is also anything that's hitting that Neptune. Okay. That's the outcoming point. So what we're saying is this T square is coming out on your Neptune. So dream big, have desires, notice what they are. Like this, these aspects to Neptune are very powerful. You just kind of, they're a little unconscious because we don't necessarily go, oh, look, it's manifesting for me. I want this. It's sort of like, look at what you've been dreaming. Look at how it reflects who you are. Spiff it up a little bit and then keep affirming it. Because I think what we're going to see is that outcoming point at 26 Neptune on your Neptune as a manifestation point for real, like where you can have what you want. You can have what you desire. Okay, so you guys, and remember a couple things about our talk today. The Promethean cycle of Mercury means we get to look forward and look ahead. You can sort of let go of the past a little bit. Let's look to our future. And not like, I'm not talking politically. There's no hidden political innuendos here. I'm talking that you look to your, instead of like worrying about, wounds of the past, for example, let's look at where we want to be, like where we're headed. Do we feel like we're on course? Do we feel maybe you don't feel like doing that, but just imagine, like, where do I want to be this time next week? Where do I want to be by noon, by the full moon? I want my head out of the refrigerator at the full moon. So start thinking about like little bitty plans, little bitty goals. You may go, I have no idea what you mean. It could be things like, I want to get a little more sleep, or I want to, you know, things like that. Just little tiny things that you come back home for. Going to be so surprised how this happens. Now, this week alone, and it there, if you haven't seen the Power Peak yet, markhusson.com or markspowerpeak.com, the password is Virgo, all lowercase, because Virgo's coming into play here in 3 days. I think it's Wednesday or Thursday, but you could the Power Peak will tell you. I'm pretty sure it might be Thursday that the sun enters Virgo. So the most important thing to remember about that is if you haven't said happy birthday to a Leo that you know, you better hurry up and do it because they will never forget. No, I'm just teasing. The most important thing about that is we go from this sort of like optimism and hope to starting to make it all work, make it all fit together. And so this is a big week for that. And I'm like, and we're also preparing for fall, you guys. I mean, I'm going to try for the rest of the year not to say, can you believe it's here that quick? Okay, I'm just not going to say that. I want to so bad. Because everybody's feeling it. Most of us are feeling it. Some of you who've had a really rough year maybe aren't feeling it's over fast enough. Because that's how time is. It only works when you don't want it to move fast. That's when it moves fast. So keep that in mind. Now, God, there are so many things I wanted to address. The biggest one, though, for the moon, I was going to go through the houses with you on the moon. I don't think I need to do that. I think basically you guys know enough to, okay, if you're a Pisces, you know that you guys have Saturn to look forward to, and it's going to sober you up tremendously. And that isn't always fun, but it's always useful, always. And I don't mean sober that you all are alcoholics. I mean, you guys look at the world through a lens that is different than anybody else. Not like Aquarius different. Your lens is completely has the technicolor of everyone you've ever touched or whoever you're close to. Saturn's going to brush all that out. So you're going to be looking at life with a little more boundary on it and a little more sobriety. That's what I mean about like it's a little more you pushed out everybody that's sort of encroached on your space. And just trust me, that's huge. Pluto is at the very, beginning of Aquarius, but it's going to go back to that Capricornian thing. So we have a little bit more to do this year that before we get cleaned out completely. I think 2025, you guys, is going to be so unique and so different because all of these old energies are changing. I mean, seriously, Neptune has been at 29 Pisces for a long, long time. Like 14 years, maybe 15. Pluto has been in Capricorn for about that long, like maybe 12 or 13. And it's both of them are leaving at the same time. Like they're both by 2025, we're out. And Pluto will never go back. I haven't checked on Neptune yet. I don't think it does. I'm going to look right now. Once Neptune leaves, and it's in Neptune leaves in March. Okay, sorry. In March of 25. Wait a minute. Yeah, the very end, the very last day of March. I'm just going to see how long Neptune's got. It might go back. Yeah, Neptune, are you going to go back? Yeah, you're going to go back. So Neptune's going to do what Pluto did this year. It's going to go back to 29. It's going to just play in Pisces for a little bit, but it's going to give us a little flavor in Aries next year. So, but Pluto never goes back in our lifetime. And so we're going to see this change, this sea change. Jupiter will be leaving Gemini next year, going into Cancer. You Geminis right now, hopefully your life is picking up. You're feeling these winds of change with Mars there right now. It's like you had the Mars-Jupiter conjunction. You're seeing a lot of like mental energy. A lot of you can't sleep because of that. That's, I think, the sleeplessness. We have Venus in Virgo. All of these are ruled by Mercury. So we're seeing the tide change, but right now it's slower than you want it to be. This is where you kind of, this gift of the full moon, this is where you get to see like, wow, where's this outcome going to be? So wherever you have Scorpio in your chart at 27, like Lynn pointed out, that's going to be the out point of this energy. But also 27 is going to be a big point for a while. So you don't have to know your chart to understand this. So here's a couple points of advice. Notice where your mind is going. If it starts getting sour, if it starts getting negative, if it starts closing in on itself, you know, like you're okay, change Flip it. Flip the channel. Just do what you need to do to flip the channel. Don't follow your mind down any rabbit holes. That's good advice, I think, especially during these times, because they're just rabbit holes. They won't lead to anything. So you notice it, change it. And what you're going to see is, I think you're going to be way able to see some of these gifts that are coming through. Now, there's Venus in Virgo right now, so it means, you know, sale prices mean a lot. That's what it means. Virgos are so frugal. I mean, it is so funny to watch the people I know with a lot of Virgo in their chart. It's like, it's so funny. My mom was like this too. For us, you'd do anything, no question. But I remember Christmases where it was like whatever jeans you could get at Kmart, and it just is cute. You know, she got them for like $2 and there's such a deal, and adorable. But I remember in the store, Virgos would be all about the sales. And that's when they would feel really okay getting themselves something, because they really are all about other people. You Virgos are adorable that way. So it's like, that's Venus and Virgo. We have that going on right now. So, and also do a purge. Use it, these times as a time of purge. Be careful about too much mental energy and too much, you know, I'm not worried about you getting too high on your own supply of fantasy, because Uranus is going to bring you down. The higher you go, I think Uranus is going to say, why, this is going to be fun watching you drop. So keep it easy on the drama and the fantasy. Keep it a little more realistic. Try to be patient with yourself whenever you can. Anybody that you want to leave, anybody you want to drop off at the depot and move on, you should be able to do it. If you're feeling it, I mean, I won't make any predictions about that, but I know a lot of breakup energy is in the air, and but it's also a Mercury retrograde. So, you know, you got to think to yourselves when you're in situations like that, is it really about the other person for real? Is it really about them? And so if you're thinking it is, then do what you can to sort of bring your movie home a little bit. See if you had that dream, how each part of those players represent a part of you. Okay. Now, I got to wrap it up here, but I want to see how y'all are doing. I know I've been talking. There's one thing. I remember my ninth grade teacher said in my yearbook, you were born with the gift of gab. Never really freaking got it. Never understood that. I wish you would have told me a little more. And here I am gabbing. Okay. So let me see what y'all have to say. I am I'm just now back in the room. I'm hitting all comments. I'm scrolling as quickly as I can. Okay, and here we go. All right. Thank you. All right, there we go. All right, Renee, Aquarius, full moon blessings and dreams. Mercury retrograde is like reverse engineering. Thank you, Judith. That's so cute. Denise Francis, 27 degrees Mercury in the second house of Sag. You know, 27, that trines the sun. So these are great times for you guys, particularly with regards to self-esteem, finance. Even though money seems like it'll go fast and comes in, it'll come in fast. I mean, it's like, keep your attitude positive. That Sagittarius second house cracks me up, because I have it and I won't look at my balances. I'm terrified that someone's going to make it real. And it's like, it's my worst trait. Okay. Maybe there's a few more. Audra, 27 Scorpio is my eighth house on top of my Neptune. Okay. So all that input, eighth house, that means your Neptune, just like Karen's, going to be a powerhouse. So I would say, keep an eye on my intimate relationships. I would say you particularly, like, see if you can imagine a shower where you break all the cords that are in you, right? Because that's an intimacy that's really big. And it's also like, it's where you can take on too much of another person's reality. So do something where you shake that off, cut the cords, and then renegotiate energetically the contract. Like, I have this thing where I burn all contracts just psychically, and nobody knows I'm doing it but me. And then I re-sign them with that person in my mind. It's such magical thinking, but it really helps me know what I'm doing. So see if that works for you. Barbara, hi, welcome. Okay, Tara, Venus in Scorpio at 26. Okay, so it's all going to hit your Venus with that Aquarius rising. So that means it's probably at the top of your chart. Oh, I know good things are happening for you at work. Let me see. You replied. Let me see what you say. Taurus and Leo are up there too. Yeah, I think it's at the top of your chart. Venus is going to, the changes at work, changes on how you're seeing your mom. Check out those areas of your life. Yeah, Alicia, the older one gets, the quicker the years pass. Well, that's, let's flip the bird time then. We have every right to complain about it. Jackie Walsh, good gracious, marvelous Monday. Today is my middle son's birthday. He was born with Aquarius full moon. Oh my gosh, happy birthday to him, Jackie. I remember walking across the hospital parking lot and looking up at the dramatic pre-dawn moon asking for guidance. I do that too, you guys. I love that idea. Just, you know, it's sort of like bring the wisdom in, please. Like, I don't care. I don't think God, I do whatever. I don't care. I just go, please bring that wisdom in, because I don't want to taint it with, like, you know, anything. Just bring it in. He was the easiest birth, and by noon I was ready to go home. His life, he's 38, and personality as much as you described, and always with a great sense of adventure. For his this birthday, he will be headed to Croatia. Much love to everyone here. Happy birthday to Ben. Happy birthday, Ben. You got a great mama, Ben. Pamela, I'm looking forward to those changes. I've had a bit of rough in the past 15 years. Enough already. Time to move on. Yeah, Pam, let's be done. No, with rough times, right? And I think, again, like I said earlier in the show, is sometimes it's our psyche trying to recreate so that we can heal. You guys, it's time. You know, Psychic Cat's up. I would not switch the dial for anything. Stay tuned. Let her support you. We are at 12listen.com. Will you please support us? Come call, get a reading. These people are not there because, you know, they're cute. They're there because they were amazing. And see if they're amazing for you. Sale day today, one on Wednesday, one on Friday, and Sundays. So we try to lower those prices every chance we get and still keep these guys in clothing and a little bit of funds, a little bit of savings. Listen, happy full moon. This is Mark Husson. This is Mark Husson's Astrology Hour, bidding you the best of everything you can possibly desire.